I think the idea of this shiur is very essential to every Jew. The Yirmiyahu HaNavi tells us, Ki a'ale aruchalach umimakotayich erpa'ech Ne'um Hashem ki nitcha kar ulach Sion hi doresh en la. Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, For I will make a cure for you, and I will heal you from your wounds, Hashem said, because you discarded Sion and no one cares about Eretz Israel and about Yerushalayim. There's something Chatam Sofer learns from this pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and since then we made a beautiful diuk in this Yirmiyahu HaNavi, which is if you understand it, we could really understand what the old Tisha B'Av is about. The Chatam Sofer said, "Bizchut aderisha leTzion te'el lanu refu'a lemakotenu." The Chatam Sofer said, "When you ask about Eretz Yisrael, about Yerushalayim, we are going to have a refu'a for all our problems." In other words, what Chatam Sofer is telling us, that if we want to put the end to all our problems, all the sicknesses, all the troubles, all the exiles, all we need to do, we have to ask and care about Churban Beit HaMikdash. And that doesn't mean only on Tisha B'Av, that means every day of the year we have to care about Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash. The Yaibetz writes that if you look at the history, everything that happened to us through the history from the beginning until now, everything has to do is because we don't care about the Churban Beit HaMikdash. That's very clear. Said if we would care and we would do something to show that we care about Churban Beit HaMikdash, we would be in a different matzav, would be in a different situation, Klal Israel would be in a different situation. We know that Bet Yosef, Maran Bet Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, had a Maggid. Maggid came to Maran Bet Yosef, and he said to Bet Yosef, to Rabbi Yosef Karo, he said, if you knew how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is betzar, how much is in pain, that Klal Yisrael are in Galut, you wouldn't be able to taste any food or drink. You wouldn't even understand. You couldn't even eat anything. The Zohar HaKadosh says that people that they cry and they suffer and they really show that they are upset about Beit HaMikdash, Churban Beit HaMikdash, they have a merit to sit with HaKadosh Baruch in the same place. There is another Gemara, there is a Midrash, that Rabbi Yochanan lived in a time of Churban Beit HaMikdash much further away than Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. When Rabbi Yochanan wanted to explain about Churban Beit HaMikdash, he used 6 different examples to explain how the Churban happened. When Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wanted to explain about Churban Beit HaMikdash, he used only 1 example to explain it. The Midrash asked, what's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi? The Midrash answers, Rabbi Yochanan was further away from the time of the Churban. People forgot about the Churban. He needed more examples to explain about Churban Beit HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was closer to the time of the Churban, and he just said it, everybody understood it. There's a maase, the city of Lublin, the Chozem Lublin, was one of the big mekubalim that we had. In the city of Lublin, at one time, there was 400 Ba'alei Ruach HaKodesh, people that they had prophecy, they were connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu straight. And who were the 400 Ba'alei Ruach HaKodesh? Ba'alei Batim. The 400 Ba'alei Batim, average people in the community, that they had Ruach HaKodesh. And somebody asked, Jose Milublin, so why didn't the Mashiach come? There's 400 only Ba'ale Batim, only average Ba'ale Bas in the community had the Ruach HaKodesh. Why didn't Mashiach show up? He said, because they cared about the learning Torah and Kabbalah and everything. Nobody cared about Churban Beit HaMikdash. They were focused on learning and becoming Ba'ale Ruach HaKodesh, and they learning Kabbalah and everything, but they weren't caring, they weren't understanding. They weren't noticing that we don't have Beit HaMikdash. They weren't putting their emphasis on Beit HaMikdash. And the Chozem Lublin said, if those people, those 400 people in that time, that they were Ba'al Ruach HaKodesh, at the same time that they were learning Torah, they are all noticing that we don't have Beit HaMikdash, the Mashiach would be here already. Today, look at Eretz Yisrael today. Baruch Hashem, we have so many people are learning Torah. There were never time from the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai until today, a piece of history, that there are so many people learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Never. Even the time of Beit HaMikdash, we didn't have so many people learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael that we have today. What's wrong with us then? Where is Mashiach? Why Mashiach is not here yet? Because we care about learning, which is gewaldig, it's important, beautiful. But that's not the only thing. We have to show that we are missing. We are missing Beit HaMikdash, we are missing Yerushalayim Bebinyana, we are missing Eretz Israel, and when we realize that, and we daven, and we study, and we show, and we pray for it, then the Mashiach is going to come. There's an interesting story the Midrash brings. The Midrash said there was once a couple, they didn't have children. They went to doctors, this doctor, and next doctor, and this doctor, and next doctor, until finally she became pregnant. The day comes for this lady, this mother, to have a child. The husband and the wife, they are both happy. They go to the hospital waiting for a child. And the husband waiting outside. Doctor comes out and he says, I have a bad news for you. So what's that? He said, I can't save your wife and your child. You have to make a decision. Which one do you want me to save? So they ask him, you can't ask this question. I don't know. So what do you want me to do? So the husband says, ask my wife. Whatever she wants, she let her make that decision. And he goes, the doctor asks the mother, obviously the mother says, I want you to save my child. And the baby is born, the baby was born, the baby boy, and the mother died. Now this boy, 8 days later, was his bris. The day that he was, the day of his bris, was a Shiva of his mother. Shloshim, 30 days later, which was Pidyon HaBen, was a Shloshim of his mother. 12 months later, which was his birthday, was the Yod side of his mother. And his Bar Mitzvah was the Yod side of his mother. He just goes through life cycle. Every anything that happens to this child, he just notifies that everything that's going on with him is something to do with his mother. It's the old side of his mother. And it's one day, all his friends, they got together and they had a birthday party for him. So his father comes up and says, it's the old side of your mother. Where are you going? And this boy goes up to his father and said, you know what, Atkan, enough is enough for it. How much do you want me to put up for this? I put up for everything that happens to me is the yard side of my mother. It has to do with my mother. Everything that I want to do is something to do with her. The father said to him, he said, you're forgetting something. Your mother could have saved herself and destroy you. But she chose to save you, and she became a korban for you. She became a sacrifice for you. The Midrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same thing. We could have been the korban instead of the Beit HaMikdash. We could have been the korban that could have, all that could happen to us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, instead of destroying Klal Israel, I'm going to destroy these woods and stones and Kotel and Beit HaMikdash. Now all of a sudden we come and say, enough is enough already. What do you want from me? How many years do you want me to mourn over that Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash? How much do I need to mourn? Enough! It's 1942 years this year from the time of the Churban. How many more years do you need to mourn? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, where is your Akarat HaTov? Where is your gratitude? I destroyed them, I destroyed the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim for you. I saved you. And you want to give up that opportunity? What's wrong with you? And this is what Klal Yisrael says, we're forgetting. We are not remembering well. We are not remembering that who we were. We could have been that mother. We could have been that sacrifice. We could have been that korban. But Hashem instead saved us and took that Beit HaMikdash instead of us. And this is what you need to remember and not to forget. So I always ask myself, three times a day we read Amachazir Shechinato Letzion, or we say Matzmiach Keren Yeshua Shimon Esre, or we say Bonei Yerushalayim. I'm talking to myself. I said once to myself, I said, do I really remember the Churban Beit HaMikdash when I say that? That's a simple thing. How many times did we say in our lifetime? Amachazir Shechinato Letzion and Bonei Yerushalayim, he said in the benching Bonei Yerushalayim. How many of us we remember? We even cry. And this is what Chatam Sofer said. If you cry when you say Amachazir Shechinato Letzion, that's the end of the tzarot of Klal Israel. And we don't even think. Forget about crying. Forget about feeling the pain. Do we really noticing it? So I want to tell you, that was Akdama, by the way. That was the introduction. So I want to tell you 10 different ways how could you remember the Beit HaMikdash in our daily lives. What can we go, when we go through our life, how can we remember the Beit HaMikdash? There is a safe in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, Ra'uy lekol yere shamayim sheye metzer ודואג על חורבן בית המקדש. זה ממש סעיף של שולחן ערוך. שולחן ערוך סימן א', סעיף ג'. שולחן ערוך says, which is very odd for מחבר, for שולחן ערוך to write הלכה like that. So when you read שולחן ערוך writes הלכה, it has what to do. Here שולחן ערוך says, ראוי לכל ירא שמיים, any Jew that is a fearing God Jew should דואג, should think and should be upset on Churban Beit HaMikdash. So what does Shulchan Aruch means by that? When Shulchan Aruch says you have to do Netilat Yadayim, it tells you how to do Netilat Yadayim. It tells you how to put Tefillin, it tells you how to put on Tefillin. When it tells you how to put Talit, it tells you how to put Talit. What is Shulchan Aruch telling me here? Say, Ra'uy lekol yere shamayim. Any fearing God Jew has to be upset, has to be sad over the Beit HaMikdash. How do you do that? It doesn't tell us what to do. And Mishnah Berurah doesn't say anything there. I looked at the commentaries in Shulchan Aruch. The Pele Yoes has a Sefer Chesed La'alafim, the commentary on Shulchan Aruch. He says that means that he has to worry about what happened to us, and what should you do to make sure that Beit HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. That's our job. That's what Shulchan Aruch means to tell us. Now let's start. When you wake up in the morning, what a firm Jew does when he gets up in the morning, you do Netilat Yadayim. What's the point of Netilat Yadayim? The Netilat Yadayim, the point is, when you want to go daven, you have to wash your hand in order to daven, to go to shul, to daven shachrit. When we had the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohen had to go inside. The tefillah is bimkom korban. The tefillah is instead of korban. And the Kohen had to mekadesh yadayim v'raglayim. The Kohen had to sanctify his hand and his feet. He had to wash his hand. When you do netilat yadayim every morning, you should remember, I'm washing my hand because I am going inside the Beit HaMikdash. Miyatzer, face, being the Beit HaMikdash in front of your face. And when you wash it, you are instead of that Kohen, that washing hand and going inside the Beit HaMikdash. That's one way of remembering the Beit HaMikdash. We have another thing that we do in the morning. You get up, you go and you come to shul, and you say, Vay Barach David. Vay Barach David, that Minha gives, that everybody gets up from their seat and put money in the pushka. Right? What's the point of that? Why bedafka there? Why when you say by Baruch Tav, you get up and you put money in the pushka? Everybody does that. The Midrash says, because David HaMelech was the one that he went out and collected money to build the Beit HaMikdash. And he got everybody involved with the building of the Beit HaMikdash. So the same thing we should do. When we get up and say Vay Barech David, you also should remember that the tzedakah that you are giving, you are helping to build the Beit HaMikdash. It's another way of remembering, reminding ourselves that we are not far away. We are still here. We are involved with the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Then we say Tefillat Amida. We say Shemoneh Esrei 3 times a day. And besides, of how many times in the Shemoneh Esrei we remember, we reminding ourselves of Beit HaMikdash? Say Bonei Yerushalayim, Matzmiach Keren Yeshua, HaMachazir Shechinato LeTzion. Say 3 times. The Chafetz Chaim said a tremendous machshava. He said everybody, when they daven Shemoneh Esrei, they worry about Refaenu. They should bring, Hashem should bring them a refuah. Hashem should bring them the medicine, the medication, whatever the healing process that they need. Or they focus on Barech Aleinu. Barech Aleinu is for Parnasa. This is the 2 things that people really need. Shemoneh Esrei is not a shopping list. You come in and everybody's thinking, oh, what am I asking today? It's like, well, we are going to Kroger. We are buying this and buying that, and we're getting this and we're getting that. I'm asking this and I'm asking for that. So Chafetz Chaim said, there's only one beracha that you need to focus the most, and that's Bonei Yerushalayim. Why? So because if Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt, you don't need Rafael and you don't need Baruch Aleinu anymore. You don't need Rafua anymore, and you don't need Parnasa anymore. Everything is fixed. What do you need to worry about? Anything else? That's all you need. You need the Yerushalayim Abinuya. You need the Beit HaMikdash. Daven for that alone. And by the way, that's the focus of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Tefillah should be. The one thing that if each one of us would focus on our tefillah on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur would be, how can we build the Beit HaMikdash? How can we rebuild the Yerushalayim? Everything else is solved with that bracha, with that tefillah. Because everything else is connected to this tefillah. Anything else that happens to us is connected to this tefillah. It's all we need. then we take three steps back. When we take three steps back, that also when the Kohanim, they went to inside the Beit HaMikdash and they davened, when they finished, they had to take three steps back when they left the Ulam HaGadol. So exactly what we need to do. When you daven Shemoneh Esrei, take three steps in, three steps back, think. Think about the Churban Beit HaMikdash. These are the ways that we could remember. These are the ways that we could remember that how can I build it? What can I do? We cannot put, no, we can't put bricks and woods and things together, but at least we could worry about it. Then we eat. We know that the shulchan is the mizbeach. The shulchan is like an altar. Everybody's table is like an altar. The melach, the salt that you bring into your table, that also is being called. Every korban needs a melach, needs salt. But there is another halacha that now is forgotten. When you say Birkat Hamazon, you should cover your knives. Why? Where does this halacha come from? And there was any knife that there's metal knife, not plastic knife, any metal knives, either you have to take it away from the table or you have to cover it. Why? I think the Shelah HaKadosh says the reason is that one time there was a knife at the table and somebody was benching and he got to the Baruch Bonei Yerushalayim. He got so mad and he got so upset that he don't have a time because he took the knife and killed himself. And said, because of that, you have to cover the knives. Somebody went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, so what are you talking about? Who is going to kill themselves with the knife? Somebody's benching, says, Bonei Yerushalayim, there's no Beit HaMikdash that's going to take a knife, he's going to kill himself because he's so upset about the Beit HaMikdash. Who is going to do that? Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, you don't understand. But when they wrote it, people understood what the Churban Beit HaMikdash is. We don't feel it anymore. For them, it was a reality. For those people, that when they benched and they got to Bonei Yerushalayim, it was a reality. They felt it so much that there was a sakonat nefashot for them. For them, it was a danger. For them not to have Beit HaMikdash, and they said this bracha, they felt it so much that it was a sakana, they might kill themselves. Today, we even notice this. We don't even think. In the shul, coming to shul, you see that light up there, near Tamid? Why every synagogue has that near Tamid and on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Because at the Beit HaMikdash, we had a near Tamid. There was a light was on all the time. When you walk into shul, look at this light. Remember, we have to remember, reminding ourselves. When we sing these things, we have to remember ourselves. We don't have the Beit HaMikdash. When we see this, do something about it. When you take the knives away from the table, do think. At every wedding, obviously everybody knows, we sing Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Emine. That also is for the same reason. The minhag is that every man goes to Tevila every Erev Yom Tov. Because Shalosh Regalim, when the people wanted to go to Beit HaMikdash, they had to tovel themselves. They had to do Tevila. And we do the same thing now. If you think, in our life cycle, everything that we do has to do with the Beit HaMikdash. The question is, are we putting dagesh? Are we really understanding it? Are we just going through things without noticing and understanding it and doing something about it? There is a minhag by a lot of Jews that before Pesach, they paint their houses. You know that minhag? A lot of people have this minhag. Why? Brought down that also had to do with the Beit HaMikdash. Because when they went, then they had Pesach. They went into Beit HaMikdash. They had to know, beautify the walls of the Beit HaMikdash. And we do the same thing now. So everything we do has to do with it. We are doing it already. But are we really, what Shulchan Aruch says, we are mitzer v'do'eg al churbano. That's really the key. The Midrash also tells us that Yirmiyahu HaNavi was still, no, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, upon all the Nabim, all the prophets that they had, Yirmiyahu HaNavi and Yeshayahu HaNavi had the hardest time. There was a Melech Aflatin came into Yerushalayim and he saw Yirmiyahu HaNavi sitting and in the floor of the Kotel, where the Kotel Ma'arabi students crying. He said to him, "You, Yirmiyahu, you are Chacham Gadol. You are such a smart man. What are you crying for? What is this Atzim Ve'Avanim, this woods and stones that you are crying on?" So I asked him two questions. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, he said, "You are Aflatin, you are a Chacham Gadol too." And he was. Aflatin was the man that anything, anybody wanted to know, they asked him and he answered. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi said to him, "You ask me any questions you want. Ask me questions." So Aflatin asked Yirmiyahu HaNavi all the hardest questions that he could imagine. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi answered every question. Every question that Aflatin asked him and he answered. See, Aflatin said to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, "How do you know where, which college did you go to? How do you know everything? Where did you get your answers from?" See, Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, "You really want to know? You see this Etzim Ve'Avanim? You see these woods and stones? They gave me that Chokhmah. I know it because of that, because of these woods that you're saying, what's these woods for? They taught me these things that I want to know. I know it because of them." Then he said, "Why you cry?" See, Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, "I'm not going to answer that question." The Midrash says Yirmiyahu did not answer that question. The Siloni Merav, the Netivot Shalom, says, "Why didn't Yirmiyahu HaNavi answer that? Why didn't he say it? I'm crying because of Etzim Ve'Avanim." He said, "Because nobody except a Jew would understand the cry over the Beit HaMikdash." So what's his proof? So when a Jew cries, it's different than anybody else. Said when the Moshe Rabbeinu was on in the river, said they came and they said, "Na'ar a'ivri boche." Said the Siloni Merav said, "How did they know that this Na'ar Ivri? How did they know he's a Jewish boy? Because the way he cries, it shows that he's a Jew. A Jew's cry is not a Yeush. It's not giving up. A Jew's cry is a tikva, is a hope. A Jew's cry is a type of a cry that I'm not crying because I gave up. I'm crying because I have a hope that I'm going to build. Because I'm hoping that the Tamikdash is going to be rebuilt." When we go to Eretz Israel, there are two places that people go to visit the most. And I'm sure everybody went. You go to Kever Rachel, and you go to Kotel. And you go a lot of other places. But these two places, everybody goes. Somebody once asked Rav Mordechai Gifter, Zatzal, "So when you go to Eretz Israel, where do you feel the regesh? Where do you feel the most? By Kever Rachel or by Kotel?" So Rav Mordechai Gifter said to him, So the young people, when they go to Eretz Yisrael, when they go to Kever Rachel, it's more yoter ragish. They feel better. They feel more connected. Why? Because Rachel Imenu was a mama Rachel. Rachel bebakal vanea. Rachel was the one that cried for Bnei Israel. They feel more connected to Rachel Imenu. So Rav Mordechai gets there, said, me, I feel more connected to your to Kotel. Why? Said, because I lived through the Churban of Europe. I lived through the Churban of Holocaust. I saw what the Churban of Holocaust did to Klal Israel. And I knew what was before the Churban of Europe. I knew what great people we had, and how many people we lost, and how many Mekomo Yeshivot we had, how many Gedolei Torah we had. And now when I go up to Kotel and I see the Kotel, I really feel the pain. Because I know if we had this Kotel built, we wouldn't have that Holocaust. But you, said Rabbi Chaim, the young people don't understand that. So they never lived through it. They always had it comfortable. But they are more connected to Mama Rachel. Because Rachel Imenu is the one that everybody wants to be close to. So we in America, Baruch Hashem, we have it beautiful here. And Labai should continue. But at one point we have to eventually come to understand that we have Eretz Israel, that we had a Kotel HaMa'aravi. We are missing something. What is the reason that we as Jews don't understand and don't nargish, don't feel that Churban Beit HaMikdash? I think the answer is it's all fault of Delta Airlines. Why? You get up, let's say tonight you want to go to Eretz Yisrael. You go buy a ticket, pay $1,200, go sit in the Delta and go into Yerushalayim in Tel Aviv. 12 hours later, you sit there. You walk into the streets of Tel Aviv and Yerushalayim and Bnei Barak, anywhere you want to go, it's beautiful. You don't have to even change planes anymore. We feel we have Eretz Israel, but we don't have Eretz Israel. If you think for one day that you have it, you are making a big mistake. And this is the feeling that we get. We get the feeling that everything is beautiful. What do you want? We have the Tzahal. We have the Eretz Yisrael. We have everything is beautiful. Everything is in its place. What do you want from me? What do you want me to cry over Beit HaMikdash for? I don't need it. What better than Delta? You sit there, 12 hours later you are there, everything's up the Olam Hazeh and Olam Abba. Up here and up there, everything is beautiful. Why do I need so many serve the Oig al Churban Beit HaMikdash for? I don't need it. That's the Churban of that's the problem. You go in, you go out, you take money, take 3 months here, 6 months there, beautiful, you come, you go. We don't understand. We don't even feel what we are missing here. That's the problem. Like somebody came to you, gave you a big fortune, and he gave you a 10-digit number, and he said, go type it in, you get your fortune out. You go in, type every letter, every number in. But when you put in, there's only 8 numbers there. There's 2 numbers missing. So where's the other 2? I don't have it. Get to figure it out. Eretz Israel, we have 8-digit numbers there. We don't have the other 2. Don't feel comfortable that everything is beautiful, I have everything and I have what else you want. It's not ours. And we see it over and over and over again. Every day we see it. We see it with these boats and we see it with presidents, with everybody. We see what happens to us. Until the day that you can't make your own decision and say, we are Jews and Eretz Yisrael belongs to us and nobody's going to tell us what to do, then that day you could sit and use Delta in and out. But until that day, we have to miyetzer v'do'eg al churban bet hamikdash. We don't have it. It's not ours. It was loaned to us. It was given to us and it's beautiful. And we should support it, we should go there, we should spend our money there, everything we buy should be the product of Eretz Yisrael, should do anything we can to support that land. And anybody could move to Eretz, should move tomorrow. It's no question. But it's not ours. We don't have it. We are not in control of it. And that should make the Churban Beit HaMikdash stronger than anything else. If I don't have any numbers, that is much easier to worry about it. But if I have 8 numbers, I'm missing 2, then that's really should get to us. Because really, we should really feel it, that we're missing Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara tells us that the Beit HaMikdash Shlishi, the third Beit HaMikdash, Rashi says, that's opinion of Rashi, that Beit HaMikdash Shlishi is going to come down Meshuchlal. It's going to come in ready built. Don't have to build it. It's ready. So the Chatam Sofer asked, how is it going to come Meshuchlal? Who built it? He said, all the crying, all the suffering, all the Taniyot and Tisha B'Av that they went through, they are the bricks of the Beit HaMikdash Shlishi. This comes in ready, but we paid for it. Every day that we suffer, that Beit HaMikdash Shlishi is going to come ready built. We read in Hallel, Min Ametzar Karati Ka Anani Amerchav Ka. For my distress did I call out to Hashem, God responded with open hand. Min Hametzar, it's a beautiful pasuk. Karati ka, I davened to you, Hashem, with distress. And Hashem, you answered me with open hand. I davened and I cried and you eventually gave me that Beit HaMikdash that I need. You know what the gematria of this pasuk is? Min hametzar karati ka, anani b'merchav ka. The gematria is exactly sheibane Beit HaMikdash b'mira v'yamenu. That's what this pasuk is about. And this is what Chatam Sofer means.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.